the representative van.
Yes, excuse me. All right, I'd hope that we get this bill out today, but we still, I think we'll have enough staff in the state.
Mr. Chairman, at some point, I know that the fiscal issue has been on the table. But I don't know if the committee has heard any testimony from the district, some of the representatives of DA.
On the fiscal aspect?
On the fiscal side of it. Also relative to the amendment that's been suggested, whether or not that helps them out of their problem.
Well, we did have, from the counties at least.
Just so happened to have, you have your county district attorney here.
I don't think that the amendment was intended to really direct itself to the fiscal problem particularly.
Right.
It just gave more leeway as to what individual could represent the county.
But lays on, as you know, some fiscal responsibility on the district attorney's office.
Yes, we've had testimony that it was $200,000 to $300,000 a year of additional cost. Is that correct? Biennium, I meant, I didn't mean a year, I said biennium.
And the other point that should be made is that if you run these cases, they don't do enough. If they don't have funds to follow. They have to make choices about what kind of thing they work on.
Of course, just as they do now.
Yep.
What is the, and those are points that have to be pursued, what is the impact upon the state mental institution?
Since the criteria are such that we're taking people who've had two civil commitments within the past 3 years and are chronically mentally ill, they're predictable to come back into the hospital. We've looked at a sample of these people and find that they are relatively heavy users of state hospital beds. Once they come in, they stay an average of 73 days. The prediction is that if we intervene early, when they first begin to have the early symptoms, they will, most of them will not need to come to the state hospital and will be managed through the outpatient commitment aspects of this bill. So they'll be under control, required to take medications, except they'll be in a community program. It's anticipated, I fully anticipate, that this will relieve somewhat the pressure on the state general psychiatric hospital system. And once we get it up and running, it will relieve the problem that we have it damaged somewhat. I wish I could promise that it would totally relieve it, but it should take some of the heat off that problem.
We are running into problems. Both Senator Crow and I have another committee meeting. And the
House is on the floor.
And you are a caucus. Unfortunately, we've our real concern here should be to look at the cost. This bill is going to be referred on to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I hate to, I don't want to hold it up too long, the significance of it, but the I was concerned about the state institutions because of my understanding is that the damage is still understaffed. Have about 35 residents or so too many.
This should work to relieve that problem.
And this should help to relieve that. This would be one way to reduce that load.
Yes.
Because it will reduce the intake.
Mr. Chairman, it may also tend to reduce the length of stay for any of these people that do go into the hospital.
The way
to the extent
I meant both
of stay
those intake and the number of the current population.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If there is an understanding by this committee and by the people who are involved in this that they have access to at least being an agenda item before the emergency board as this thing goes along, and they're running the cost concerns, does that take care of it?
Our problem, as you know, is that as Ken explained minute ago, and you're familiar with this, is that we have not in the past made allocations to district attorney's offices on the basis of specific laws or caseloads. We do it on the basis of the number of our subsidy of the district attorney and of the deputy district attorneys. And I presume that something could be done.
Mr. Chairman, that can be done. You can address workload through the additional subsidies for additional deputies.
Mr. Chair.
Just a generic clause to allow counties to come back and cities and counties to come back and deal with this.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if we'd need that in the bill, but if we could just I think the co-chairs would go along with coming back during the interim. The bill does not take effect until January 1, Senator Meeker, and there's time for the DAs, the counties to get together, come back, and the co-chairs have suggested an amount up to $200,000 for this added purpose.
Put into the e-board for this specific purpose.
Is there more than enough money appropriated to cover the cost of this in the budget? It seemed to me as I heard the figures, there was that this was going to cost less than was in the budget for it. Is that right, Jay?
5.2 versus 6.9.
Yeah. Yes.
So really, the budget amply covers the outward cost, but not this cost.
Yes, and in
order.
It could
cover this cost, but we would need additional action. At least by the e-board.
Okay, but it could be handled.
To release some of these funds.
Mr. Chairman.
That's what we have to look at in the language that is possible.
To transfer the money, the emergency board cannot transfer money between the department and the DAs, so it would need to be done in this bill.
All right.
To take that option.
Well, let us ask the staff then to write an amendment, which. And I don't know what the specifics are, which would actually provide for the assessment by the e-board of the additional costs and to authorize out of the resources available to the e-board, either in this budget for mental health or other funds, authorize the e-board to provide for additional funding to district attorney's offices and counties for estimated additional costs occasioned by this law. I don't know how the staff's going to work out an amendment which achieves that.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Possible. Generally, I think the philosophy behind your language is a good approach.
Just incredible.
Staff. The staff can work it out from there.
Do you want to put a cap on that?
We've given them the idea, now they can work out the details.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, can we put a cap on that amount of $200,000?
I think that would probably be necessary. Okay. Yes. Now, with that amendment, there is no objection then to having staff prepare an amendment to that effect, which will be reviewed by the chair, and which of course the full committee can review when the bill is presented to the full committee. If there's no objection to that amendment, then it will be amended to that effect. We've already adopted the amendments -23.
I don't think we did.
No, there was not an official action. All right.
So moved.
It's moved that we adopt the amendments -23. If there's no objection, those amendments are adopted. We have some, we can have confidence that another committee is going to review this, the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so we now, the motion is to move the bill as amended to the full committee with a recommendation that it be referred in accordance with the prior referral to the Judiciary Committee. No objection. That's adopted, and we are temporarily finished with this matter. We did not take testimony from Eleanor Jones, Dale Penn, or Paul Snyder, except briefly from Paul. And I would suggest that you follow the bill in Judiciary, and if you need to have another appearance there, do that. Okay? There's no further business. Meeting is adjourned.
Human Resources Subcommittee is adjourned, and the Means Committee. meeting Thursday, June 18th, 1987 at 1 p.m.
Subcommittee will please come to order. We have to be act promptly here. We should be done, need to be done by 2 because we have another subcommittee.
Salary.
Yeah, four of us do. Okay. So let's proceed then. Let's start with Senate Bill 531.
Mr. Chairman, your vote ought to be 2, Senate Bill 531. And what you asked us to do was to put into 531 the provisions of Senate Bill 543. And this we have done. Senate Bill 531, as you recall, allowed for the drug schedule to be revised twice monthly. Mm-hmm. And 543 allowed people who were on Title 19 Medicaid assistance to select any pharmacy that they wanted to have their prescriptions filled. You did not want to have this to apply, though, when they were under an HMO or a PCO.
And that's what
so line 11 and 12
414 covers.
Is the PCO-HMO contract, so we say nothing in this section applies to contracts under ORIS 414-610. This has been checked out by AFS and the other folks. And
we also established the fact that on the prescription or drug review program that those people, once they had picked a pharmacist, would be restricted to that pharmacist, but they would meet the provisions of subsection 1 that they could have chosen their own pharmacy.
We have them under managed medical, and the potential for abuse is there, why they can be locked in after they've made that one choice.
So the first question is on adoption of these amendments. Do you have some questions about it? Any objection? All right, the -2 amendments that were adopted, and the...
I think the bill is ready for... the only other thing is you, in the write-up, we said that the added administrative cost and the cost of drugs, as you remember, is around $84,000. We'll say the division will request financing for these costs from the $750,000 emergency fund reservation, which is provided for drug price increases during the interim. That'll be the source of funding for the increased costs.
And they'll come to the emergency board. All right. With that understanding, is there objection to referring Senate Bill 531 as amended to the full committee with a recommendation to pass? There is no objection. That's done. Now we move on to Senate.
Do you want to carry the paper?
Who wants to carry it on the House?
Okay. All
right. I don't care. All right. Let's carry it. All right. We move on then to Senate Bill 543. We already got that one.
No. Your actions freed up Senate Bill 543 now by combining it with 531.
Right.
So now we
prenatal
have a bill.
Goes in.
Now we have a bill that has the right relating clause with nothing in it, which is what Senator Trow suggested. So now I have the enabling legislation for prenatal care.
Okay.
And the Adult and Family Services Division people are here this afternoon. There's only one change needed. The amendments I'm handing out are all of the people who are eligible to receive medical benefits, and it goes through a long list starting with A, and we add a T, which doesn't come until you get to page 4, and then T would be the additional category of people, which, because we do not know the amount of funds that are going to be appropriated for this purpose, we say to the extent of available funds, and then we say, is a pregnant woman or child for whom federal financial participation is available under Title 19 of the Federal Social Security Act? So it includes then the pregnant women and the children that there will be federal match for. So that's the only restriction. So in providing prenatal care or the services to those young children under 5, you can go up to the extent of the federal match. That'll allow us to cover 100% of the federal poverty level, which is where
if funds are available, you wanted to go to in your deliberations.
And we, there's no funds in this until we know later on in the enabling legislation on the appropriation.
I was asked by the co-chairs, and I think Senator Roberts,
right.
You're doing the same thing, I think, in the Education Committee with Education Excellence and maybe some of the others. My understanding, you're going to have one bill that's going to have five or six appropriations to it.
We'll do the same thing with 2760.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be either inside the window or expanded window.
For my T expands this for pregnant woman or child.
You want to have AFS to cover.
All right, yeah, maybe I need some, just for my own clarity, I don't want to take too much time. I think we've proved the principle of this. We've had
well, you have until 2 o'clock, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. For my benefit, I wanted to know if we didn't get to T, would there still be funds for the children?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dana Roberts, Deputy Administrator of Adult and Family Services. If you didn't get the T, I don't believe you would have funds for the children, because the existing state law, if you will, allows us to go up to the medically needy standard.
So the coverage for children, as well as these pregnant women, is triggered by that. But
is
once
triggered
we went
by
into
T.
that, it would trigger, in effect, care for all of the children in the other groups.
Mr. Chairman, by putting in the language subject to available funds and also having us with the ability to go up to the level, the maximum level that the federal government would cover, whatever money is available, and let's say it only covered up to 90% of the poverty level, we would have to cover both pregnant women and children up to that level. We couldn't raise one or the other above whatever level we draw the line.
So once we go beyond what we're now doing for ADC and medically indigent, once we go on beyond that, then it triggers the whole program for everybody.
For pregnant women and young children.
As far as we're going to go up to 100% of poverty.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we'll pick those families up based on income up to that point.
Okay, that's what
the government requires you to cover prenatal care.
That's what I wanted to be sure I understood.
So it wouldn't just cover the pregnant women to 100% and leave the children out of that question.
Yes, that's what I want.
Right. You could not do that.
Right.
The minute you increase the eligibility, you include all the ones that are required to be covered. AFS indicates to me that is the only amendment for enabling legislation is necessary. All the other medical groups are covered,
right.
And it just adds this one group. So when you do determine your funding for prenatal care, then this will allow them to make those people eligible and expend the funds for them.
This is completely consistent with the material we had before of how much each $1 million or so would bring us up the poverty level.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions?
Can I move the amendments?
Yes. All right. Representative moves the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 543. Strike out the original language and insert the language that provides for the authorization for the prenatal care program.
Line 5 on the amendment screws out the part that did just relate to drugs and the freedom of choice. That's gone now. Delete lines 4 through 8. So that's been moved back to Senate Bill 531. So
right.
It just starts from the scratch now, like you suggested.
Okay.
Goes on through.
Is there objection to the amendments -3? If not, they're adopted. Mike now moves the bill as amended to the floor of the recommendation, to the full committee with the recommendation to be adopted. Is there any objection to that motion? If not, that's approved. Now what we have to do is do what we can to get adequate funding.
Whoever carries this, let me just simply read the one paragraph on the funding. The Department of Human Resources has indicated the cost of the additional medical care, administration, and case management services would require $6.3 million general fund, $15.4 million total funds during the 87-89 biennium. Partial or full funding of the expansion will be contained in a later appropriation bill anticipated to be passed by the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Okay.
And it, so it lays out the $6.3 million for full funding to 100%.
Ways and Means Committee can't pass bills.
Well, okay. To be approved.
To be recommended.
Right. To by the whatever. Once a teacher.
Haven't got that.
Once a teacher.
Give us time.
Yeah, we're working on it. Let's see if I read my these anymore. To be approved by the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Yes. I was sitting and waiting for my wife the other day and heard a telephone call come in. And the secretary there was explaining to the person, sorry, that would take a passage of legislation. And the legislature only meets every 2 years, so that particular thing is too late to get it done now. Well, can't the Secretary of State do it then? After all, I'm her friend.
But it would take legislation to let the Secretary of State do it.
All right, we will move now to House Bill 2760.
2760 is the enabling legislation to expand the jobs program. It provides for pilot programs because I think that the members of the legislature has, in their availability of funding, has decided not to fund the full cost of the program for the next biennium, which would be somewhere close to 12 to 13 million general fund, but you're going to run pilots, and I think that's what the governor has agreed to in AFS. So I think, Senator Roberts, you had some thoughts about how you wanted the bill amended. Hopefully I have done that. I have had only one or two people to review it, so it's been done just within the last hour or so. But hopefully that clause there on that starts with line 8 is what you had in mind. And perhaps reading line 8 through line 13 and then you talking about it will do what you asked staff to do on that particular measure. The bill itself is provides for a very comprehensive training and employment program for recipients and advocates of ADC, and it's worked out from an interim task force, and it just simply lays out the program. What you asked to do, Senator Roberts, was to say, let's let these programs operate as pilots underneath of that scheme in selected areas for the 18 months of the biennium that we can provide funding for, and then to repeal all of the act on June 30th, 1989. And what that simply does is to put temporary legislation together, allows pilot programs to take place. And then, in effect, in 1989, we come up with the permanent type language that you want to replace the work incentive program. In the meantime, this would just be a substitute for it. So it puts all the legislation into being. It doesn't keep it there on a permanent basis. And I think perhaps the reason for that is in your discussion with the governor's office that they may want to make some revisions. And during the interim and study it, and with the new administration, they wanted to look at the jobs program, wanted to see what the pilot programs produced, and then come up with permanent legislation next time. And I think that's the reason why you're agreeing to go that way.
What's the 1 year cost on that? Is it about 5 or 6?
A year and a half to run those pilots is now either 4 million or 4.7 million, depending on when you phase it in.
Thank you.
The latest discussion has been there may only be about $4 million in this appropriation bill, and that would mean it'd be phased just a little bit later on, and the projects would start a little slower. But sort of between 4 and 4.7 million to go pilot projects.
My concern.
And it pulls 50% federal match, so we run about a $10 million program, which is significant. It would cover 25% of the state, which is fairly significant.
My concern about the approach that's involved in this amendment was that I would hope that there wouldn't be anything that would tend to discourage the assumption that we were going to continue this program in the following biennium. And obviously, making it a pilot program and making it, in effect, sunset at the end of this coming biennium would certainly not leave it as a part of what we normally think of as the base budget. And on the other hand, I think that there's a likelihood that after this period of the pilot program, there might certainly be significant questions about possible modifications and changes in the bill, so that there's going to be, probably have to be changed anyway. I just wanted, as I talked with Janice as representative of the executive branch, I wanted to find a way to make it clear that it would certainly be my understanding that with this type of legislation, the executive branch would include it as a solid part of something, as a solid part of the next biennium's budget. Mike?
Well, Mr. Chair, the way that it appears that the amendments are written is that we are giving discretion to have the pilot project, and assuming that we have the money to fund it, I don't see the need to sunset this. That does two things, three things. Number one, it's my understanding that this would become part of the base, at least this level. Number two, everybody in the world doesn't have to jump through all the hoops of trying to get at least this past next session. And I forget the number three.
Well, you want to measure the success of the program is what you want to do, and I think that's going to be the key in how successful it is and also what the general economy is. I think it gives an opportunity in the next legislative session to take a good hard look at it, see what changes need to be made to it, and if it's a successful program, which I'm sure it will be, there's not going to be any problem at all getting it funded, because the governor would have probably already included it in his budget if he had a measure of success by then. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Let's. Could we have the Freddie? Would you come up? And anybody else that you want to have come up and be subjected to a grilling on this question? The questions that you raised, Mike, I raised too, and I did agree from my own standpoint that I would back these amendments, but I think I expressed to Freddie and Janice my reluctance on the very grounds that you are stating, and that is that I didn't want there to be any question about the fact that unless somehow this was just a miserable failure, and a real loser, that we would expect as a normal course of events that the executive branch would propose this, some extension of this program in the following biennium, so either on the same level or on a higher level. And I was only persuaded that this whole thing might have a little more smooth sailing if it were not enacted as a continuing piece of legislation. I don't know quite why the executive branch is concerned about this, and I'd like, for the benefit of all of us in this open meeting, an explanation of why has this reservation about enacting this into law.
He didn't ask me to ask this, you know.
Yeah, see, we know. As we had, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Janice Yaden. As we had talked about before, I think it basically comes down to the burden of the proof. And it's much easier to look at a program and say this is a good program without it already being in law. And what the governor had been told was the piece of legislation that was going through was a pilot program, and that we would be able to take a look at this pilot program after 2 years and to be able to see if there are places where perhaps we don't have enough experience to draw any conclusions, or if there are areas where we already know it needs to be modified, or if there are areas in which we need to expand, and perhaps some of those areas could then go statewide. And I think by saying we want this, like this, to go into law just makes a difference. It's more difficult to go back and change a law than it is to bring a law.